And I will receive tonight again, this evening, one more session tonight of your spirit and all that you have for us in the city. Let there be supply of revelation and clarity by your word and by the ministry of your spirit, impartations, spirit of urgency, spirit of service, spirit of devotion, and understanding the heart and mindset of a disciple. Receive this in the name of your son Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's have a seat. Matthew's Gospel in 28. Matthew 28 again, verse 18. And Jesus came and said unto them, spake unto them, hallelujah, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then he says, go ye therefore. Kenneth again, the man has river, listen to, follow, honor, follow the Lord. And I trust God in the coming days that I follow Him more. Can I dig it? Now, he is it. Can I will say that when you see therefore in the scriptures, find that word therefore is therefore. Are we together? And that helps you to pay attention to words. I said yesterday, and I said today in the morning, that you must be, you must gain mastery at words. Words. Because look at it today. If you look at your Bible, you observe that all there is to know about God has been given to you in a written form. You cannot abuse it. Are we together? You can't abuse it. So we have to be careful with our handling of words. You can miss God's plan when you don't pay attention to words. Because God's will is communicated via words. You get it? Words. It therefore shows you that words are resources. Words are resources. Words are a resource of God. Are we together? And you will say, oh, what do we do today by the instrumentality of words? We talk to one another. I can communicate my desire to somebody. Look at how interesting that can be. Permit me, okay? But you are here today because two people spoke to each other. Are we together? Did you observe? I am here today because two people express their feelings to each other. I love you. I like to get married to you. I don't want. Okay, yes. And that communication has bested not just me, but what God is doing in my existence today. Are we together? Words. Words also ruin lives. Irredeemable. Words. So, you observe, I'm doing two things. I'm giving us a word for the now.
what you can take home as personal instructions to act upon. And I'm also submitting to you God's counsel in the same conference. I'm doing two things simultaneously. So you will be careful with words. Existence is brought forth. It shows you that words are instruments of continuity. Is it clear? They are instruments of what? Sustainability or sustenance. Continuity. Continuity. The work of God, the plan of God, is prolonged amongst us today, or on the earth today, through the use of words. So he says, so what do we do by the word today? Yeah, or by our words, we communicate. I can express my likes and dislikes via the vehicle of words. Could be written, could be spoken. Are we together? Are we together? And because those are the two means of communicating words. Ear, audio, and visual. Are we together? Are we together? So that shows you something. Look at this. That, and look at this carefully. I'll get back into my thought now, right? Because I have just about an hour to talk to us. It shows you that this is intelligence. Of all the things in your life, you and I, we are most vulnerable to words. Words affect us more than any other thing on the earth. So much that when God sought to influence us, he came through the vehicle of words. Words. Are we together? Are we together? Observe that without words, supernatural experiences are meaningless. Without words, without the tool of words, without the provision of substance, it's not tangible, called words, experiences are meaningless. It shows you that God wants us to understand the place, the role that words play. So like I said, they play so much a role that God, in influencing us, he does it primarily with the agency of his words. Are we together? Are we together? Back off. He says in Matthew here, Jesus came and spake unto them. Obviously, still on the thought of paying attention to words. If we look at the text that we have examined since morning, you will observe that Matthew 28 verse 18 must have been a 40-day explanation. According to Acts 1, verse 2 and 3. Must have been what? A 40-day explanation. Are we together? A 40-day explanation. So a 40-day explanation, Matthew says, and he came and he what? He spake. Now what did he say? He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and what? And on earth. And then we said, that is a 40-day explanation. Isn't it? Isn't it? A 40-day. So, don't forget that I then come to us, and I said this to us again, I'm mentioning what I said before, that rather than say Jesus came to them and spake, right? Or spoke to them. Now, speak and spoke is the same word. I want to get that. It's just an old King James. When he says speak, just like when he says went and wentest. Speakest thou is another way of saying you said. Do you get it? I even saw a preacher like that, that he literally preaches like that on his pulpit. That's how he preaches. I'm not very interested in how he speaks outside the pulpit. He just stares down. When stares down, I talks. I say, you don't follow KJV more than you. Amen. So look at that. It's therefore better to say that, or it's more proper to rewrite or read that text as, and Jesus came to them and what? Kept saying. Because if the writer is talking about what he said for 40 days, you and I know that Jesus couldn't be saying for 40 days, oh, God is giving unto me heaven and earth. Oh, God is giving unto me heaven and earth. Oh, God is giving to me heaven and earth. Oh, God is giving to me heaven and earth. Oh, God is giving to me heaven and day one. Oh, God is giving to me heaven and earth. And then everybody goes to sleep. And they wake up in the morning. And then say, how are you, Peter? What's up? So all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. All authority is given to me in earth. Day two. Day three. All authority is given to me in earth. No, it doesn't make any sense. But Matthew is writing the summary of what Jesus said for 40 days. That is, for 40 days explanation, this was what the explanation was hinged upon. It's a summary. So when he says, and Jesus came and spake or and said unto them, we better read as, and Jesus came and kept saying to them, or and was saying to them, how that all authority gives me. Then look at what it says. It says to go and do what? And teach. Go and teach all nations. So we said, before he arrived at that instruction, which was the background I gave to us, he had taught his disciples. He had a ministry for 3.5 years. About 4 years, he had a ministry. And then, that ministry taught the multitudes. He also had his disciples, whom he taught. Yes. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. He preached the gospel. He raised disciples. That shows you something. That, look at something before I said it. I mentioned that before. Just show you 1-2 texts. Read and then we'll come. Look at Mark 16 quickly. Verse 20. What does it say? And they went forth and did what? Preached everywhere. Then he says, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, what signs are they talking about? Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe in my name. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover. So he says, they went preaching everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming their words with what? Signs following. Put that somewhere. Are we together? Look at the Matthew's account in chapter 10. Are you there? Look at verse 5. If you look at verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of what? Disease. Mention their name in 2 to 4. Then it says in 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go in not into the way of the Gentiles, and in the city of Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lordship of the house of Israel. Can we take 7 together? As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the what? Lepers, raise the dead, cast out what? Devils, freely you have received, freely what? Give. Hold that somewhere. Look at Acts 4. Are you there? Now look at verse 20-21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. That was a miracle. 22. For the man was above 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made the heaven and earth, in the sea, and all that in them is. But the man of the servant David has said, while the heathen raised the head, the people imagined vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truth, against the only child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done before to be done. Now look at verse 29. Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and what? Wonders may be done by the name of your only child Jesus. Now look at 31. Let's read together. And when they had prayed, The place was shaking where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. 32. And many of them that believed were one heart and one also. Neither said any of them that all things which he possessed was his own, but he had all things common. They kept 3 together, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now look at it again. Now, in the Mark text that I asked you to read, okay, before then, look at Acts 6. In verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. There was great joy in that city. Praise God. Look at Romans 15.
Are we together? In Romans 15, verse 17, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertains to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and what? Deed. Now Luke 19 together, once you go. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Jericho, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Praise God.
We have read how many texts now?
We're in Mark 16. Right? Right? We read where again? Matthew what? 10. Where else did we read? Acts what? Acts 4. What else did we read? Acts 8. Philip. Then we read what? Romans 15. Now, what is common in all the texts? The supernatural ministry of the signs and wonders. Are we together? Signs and wonders. Now, can we say that the signs and wonders is them acting on receive the Spirit? Is that it? Answer that question. You're not answering here. Bofemi, is that it? Thank you. They acted on what? Receive the Spirit. Did they act on you shall receive power? Did they act on it? So the disciples acted on it and we saw activities. Did they act on until thou be endued with power from above? Did they act on it? Did they put on power? They did. Now, my focus is this. So we see in these 4, 5, 6 texts the ministry of supernatural signs and wonders. However, notice that the ministry of supernatural signs and wonders in Mark 16, he says, this sign shall follow them that what? Believe. Right? Right? This sign shall follow them that what? Believe in my name. Right? Right? Now, in verse 20, and they did what? Went by now, some text should be in your mind. Without needing to read the text. You should be able to quote it now. Verse 20 says what? And they went everywhere. Are we together? Preaching. Right? And the Lord what? The second hand is not there. The Lord walking with them, them italicized. Confirming their what? The word, rather. With what? Signs following. Wait. And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe in my what? In my name. And they went everywhere preaching. The Lord walking with. Confirming the word with what? With signs what? Following. And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. So when will the signs follow the believer? As the believer preaches. Do you get it? So these signs shall follow them that believe. Are we together? Now look at the way you have seen it. Look at this. Look at this, everyone. Just look at this. Look at this. In my name, it says, believe my name. It says, they shall what? Cast out devils, right? Then it says, they shall what? Speak with new tongues. So, I speak with tongues. And then, it says, this sign shall follow me.
Do you speak with tongues? Yes. But when is the sign following you? Pay attention. The sign did not follow you because you spoke with tongues. Speaking in tongues as a sign follows you because you get others filled. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Now, do you speak with tongues? Yes. Amen. Amen. Do we speak with tongues? Is that a sign? Yes, a sign. But when the text says that this sign shall follow you, notice the first thing he says is that what? They shall cast out devils. So you will do that. Are we together? So what you minister is a sign following you. He says, they shall cast out devils. He has written tongues. Then he says what? They shall take up serpents. Now, serpents in the scriptures is not literal. It's figurative. Where you will see serpent again in Jesus' words is in Luke chapter 10. When it says, behold, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions. And we're talking about those insects. Are we together? He's talking about works of Satan. Because serpent and scorpion is descriptive of the activities of Satan. The works of Satan. Now look at this. Serpent refers to that which deceives. Scorpion refers to that which it destroys. Serpent and scorpion, that which stings, that which lures away. So he talks about authority over supernatural deception and activities of Satan that seeks to ruin lives and bodies. Are we together? Are we together? So demonic activities. Demonic activities. Just like the angels, the supernatural being that walked in the church, they heal the sick. Demons inflict sicknesses on people. Just like we can receive supernatural direction by the ministry of angels, demons also lead you away from God's plan. So it's the same activity, only in two different what? Directions. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So you see, he says, this sign shall follow them that believe. Then he says, they shall take up serpents. He now explains taking up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, the drink there is not literal. Even though the power of God can neutralize acidic and poisonous substances if you drink it. Are we together? But the drinking of any deadly thing there is not literal. It rather emphasizes the taking up of serpent. The same way taking up serpent is not literal. So if they take up serpent, means if they engage, if they come in contact, when you take responsibility for a work of Satan, they shall take up serpent. And if they drink any deadly thing, so both shall not hurt them. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, both are in the same statement. They shall take up serpent. That is, if they drink any deadly thing, it says, it shall not what? Hurt them. Then it says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It's not the believer that will recover. The sick shall recover, right? Right? They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. They shall recover. So if you look at laying hands on the sick, taking off serpents, drinking deadly things, casting out devils, they are offensive activities. They are offensive activities towards the power of Satan, the activities of Satan. Let me use that word, activities of Satan. activities of Satan. Offensive activities. It shows you, therefore, look at this, that statement, they shall speak with new tongues. Are we together? Is also offensive. It's also offensive. Yes, it's offensive enough that you are speaking in tongues, but look at this. They shall speak with new tongues. Has to do with you getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. They have not even asked and answered the question, who is the worker? I guess I will do that work. Are we together? But are you seeing what we're seeing? Are we together? So the supernatural signs in Mark 16. Then he says, the Lord walking with, confirming the word with what? Signs. So look at this. That means the ministry is not the signs. Hence, they are called signs. Are you with me? Now, what is a sign? It is the word semeon in the Hebrew. In the Greek, rather, is the word semeon. Now, what is a sign? What is a sign? A sign is what? A sign. So, a sign is a pointer at something. Are we together? So he says, they went everywhere preaching. The Lord walking with, confirming the what? The word. So that means, do we have a ministry of supernatural signs and wonders? Yes. But look at this. The supernatural signs and wonders are to point men to the what? The word. Is that clear? Is that clear? The ministry of supernatural signs and wonders is to point men towards the word. So the ministry is really the word. The signs of the word is the what? Is what? Is what? In verse 19 of Romans 15, Paul said, through mighty signs and what? Wonders. I mentioned that to us before. Mighty signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. And I told you the reason why it's called signs and wonders is because signs, are we together? Now, when you say signs and wonders, are you listening to me? Just keep listening. When you say signs and wonders refers to miracles. Oftentimes you even see words like, okay, miracles, signs and wonders. We use that terminology, miracles, signs and wonders. Miracles, signs and wonders are not three things. Are we together? Miracles, signs and wonders refers to just one thing. And what is that one thing? Miracles. The miracles are signs. Are we together? Wonder is your response to the sign. Did you get it? Did you get it? All right. Because sometimes when we make statements, some people don't know why. It makes sense. So when you hear miracle signs and wonders, we are referring to miracles. And that word miracles is actually the word dunamis. Works of power. Works of power. It's the same word miracles, dunamis. Works of power. So, miracles are the signs of the gospel. Men's response to the sign is what? They wonder at it. Is it clear? Is it clear? So that's why he said signs and wonders. So the wonders are the response of men to the signs. And the signs are the miracles which we wrote. And those miracles are acts of God's power. Do I have your attention? So notice in the Mark text that all of them are offensive. Casting out devils, taking off serpents, drinking deadly things. Now, he says, you shall not hurt them. It sounds defensive. You shall take a deadly thing. It shall not hurt you. It sounds defensive. It's actually offensive. Because you are on the go taking up deadly things. The works of Satan. Are we together? Deadly thing simply implies it has a deadly effect on people. But it will not have a deadly effect on who? On you. And that is a sign. Are we together? So they shall lay hands on the sick. Again, offensive. So when he says, speak with new tongues, or speak with tongues, they shall speak with new tongues, it is also what? Offensive. It's offensive. It has to do with, yeah, so they how we build the kingdom of God. Yes, but do you observe that we build the kingdom of God by going out? Building the kingdom is actually described as taking new grounds. So it's an offensive work. The kingdom of God is never on the defensive. We are always on the offensive. Defensive game. We don't play defense. Are we together? We are never losing. We're covering more ground. The people that should play defensive is what? Is the enemy. Are we together? Is the enemy. Is the enemy that plays defensive. We don't ever play defensive. We are always on the what? Offensive. Why? All authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Go is not defensive. Go is offensive. It means we are always seen reaching out. Reaching out. When we are praying, are we being offensive or defensive? Offensive. Is it clear? Is it clear? Look at this. Tell me whether it's offensive or defensive. Come here. Look at Acts 4, which we read. Acts 4. They had gotten someone healed. In chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands on them, put them in hold until the next day, for it was evening tide. That was persecution, right? Is that persecution? Okay. Read on and on. Howbeit, verse 4, many of them which had the word did what? Believed. And the number of the men was about what? 5,000. And Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, Alexander, and as many as the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem.
And when they have set them in the midst, so there's a panel. It says, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people, the elders of Israel, if with this day be examined of good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be known unto you that to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you all. This is the story with Peter that said in all, says, which is become the head of the corner, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby men be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned, and ignorant men and the marvel, and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed standing with mist with them, and they could say nothing against it, but when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to this man? For that indeed a notable miracle that has been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that they spread no further among the people, let us straightway threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Threats by the government. 18. He says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But we cannot but speak the things which you have seen and heard. So when they have further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing, how did I punish them? Because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years, of whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went unto their own company, reported unto the chief priests and elders, and said unto them, and when they had heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of the servant David has said, why did you raise the people in mighty vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, the rulers, they gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ, were drew against the only child whom thou hast anointed, put up on the pallet, and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold, the threatenings and grant thy servant that with all boldness they may speak the word. So, does this sound like defensive or offensive? Answer that question, is it defensive or offensive? Answer that question, is it defensive or offensive? Offensive. By stretching forth that hand to you, signs and wonders may be done by the name of the only child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were was shaking together, it says, when they assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the word of God with boldness, offensive. With great power, 33 gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them, offensive. Offensive. Going all out. Going out the more. We're never backing down. Are we together? The church is never backing down. Offensive. So notice in Mark 16 that the signs and wonders was to point to the word. It's a support system to the ministry of the word. We saw also in Matthew 10 the same thing. As you go, preach the gospel, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Then he says what? Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out devils. Freely you have give. Receive rather. Freely what? You give. Again, signs and wonders is to strengthen the ministry of the word. We saw in Acts 8, Philip goes. The prayer in Acts 4. The signs and wonders, he says, the people will preach the word. The apostles, the servants will preach the word. And there will be signs and wonders to aid the ministry of the word. In Acts 8, observe verse 5. Philip went to Samaria and preached what? Christ. Are we together? Is that already in Acts 8:5? And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed to the things which he was, he spoke, seeing and hearing the word, the miracles. So you will now see the reason why Jesus said, receive power as you preach the gospel. The same thing we saw in Romans 15, right from verse 17. Through mighty signs and wonders, I have fully preached the gospel. So it shows you that the instruction to receive the Spirit is necessary to the ministry of the word. And all of these instructions were directed to Jesus' disciples. Now, in Matthew 28, if he says to go make disciples, the word matatheo, just like we've seen, which implies to train. The word matatheo, which implies to raise another, to train by teaching. Matatheo is a word used for an apprenticeship. Somebody who is learning. Like I said, it is from the word masterpiece. In the same text, he says, and he said unto his disciples, go and make disciples. Go and teach. So he said unto his disciples, masterpiece, go and teach matatheo. He said unto his disciples, matatheo, go and teach matatheo. They are two words similar. So when we look at the word matatheo and we are trying to understand matatheo, we need to find out matatheo. So who is matatheo? Who is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. Someone who is undergoing training. Are we together? A very crucial thing to observe about discipleship, as Jesus implies it, is that when you look at a disciple, you will already observe that the disciple is distinct. Is someone who has a training and is also receiving what? A training. So a disciple is in between trainings. There is what he or she has received. If you observe critically, you will observe that the fellow is also receiving what? A training. That's a disciple. So a disciple is somebody who is undergoing training consistently and ongoing training. Like I said, an apprentice, a pupil, can use that word, a disciple, or your disciple. A disciple is a student. That means there is something the disciple is studying. The person is undergoing a study. The person is undergoing a study. One who is being trained. A learner, an apprentice, a student, someone under tutelage. That's a disciple. And that explains the word discipleship. Matthew. It means to take responsibility to train. A strong discipleship happens in two ways, or by two ways.
There's somebody to make it available, and there's somebody available to us to receive it. There's somebody to make it available. And obviously, just like we say, you cannot give what you do not what? Have. So Jesus, in telling people to make disciples, was talking to men who had already been what? Disciples. And not only had they been discipled, they were also undergoing what? Discipleship. It shows that I miss many things. That discipleship is lifelong in Christ. Because you will not stop learning, but you will move from basic things to what? Advanced matters. Are we together? You will move from basic things. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 5 spoke about a time where you ought to be teachers. You have the need to be taught the basics. So there is growth, there is development of a disciple. It means you can also have something called an elder disciple or older disciple and a younger disciple. Why? Because there is that structure in learning and training. Discipleship implies there will be a curriculum. Discipleship implies there will be a discipler. A discipler. There will be a curriculum, what is being learned. There will be a discipler, the one who is teaching and training. And the presence of a discipler, what we can describe as a leader. Is it clear? Is it clear? Annual leaders and workers, what? We're getting there. So what we can describe as what? A leader. So a leader is a more experienced disciple who is exemplary and worthy of what? Following. Is that clear? Is that clear? Are you with me? Alright? So a disciple is someone who is following. Because the fact that there is a discipler that we can describe as a leader already introduces the concept of what? Followership. So another word for a disciple is what? A follower. A disciple of Jesus will be a follower of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus will be someone being discipled by Jesus or discipled after Jesus by someone appointed by who? Jesus. A disciple is someone under tutelage. Someone under tutelage. We see one in Jesus' ministry. We will observe in Matthew 27:57. He spoke about a disciple. He says, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' what? Disciple. And there was a phrase that was used to describe a disciple of Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? In Mark's Gospel, praise God, am I in the right text? I'm coming. Okay. Let me get into Luke. Praise God forevermore. So a disciple is someone under tutelage. Someone who is being trained. Someone
who is following. Someone who is taking true instructions. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 10, he says about Mary, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Sitting at the feet is another word used to describe a discipleship walk. To sit at the feet, obviously it does not mean to sit down with your buttocks at the leg of somebody. Rather, it talks about to be in subjection to tutelage. To follow somebody's instruction. That is discipleship. It shows you that in discerning who a disciple is, obviously, there is also the ingredient of the place of discipleship. The place of discipleship. In talking about the place of discipleship, hallelujah, talking about the place of discipleship, in Acts 1 there, he said, you shall be witnesses of me. Which Matthew already described as, you shall make disciples of me. Notice something. Pay attention. Words. Words. Look at those two texts again. I didn't say open it. Just look at me. Just look at me. All authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of what? Father, Son, and the Spirit. Can we say it's the same as baptizing them in my authority? Answer. Alright. Now, my authority. Now look at something. Look at something. Then, Acts 1, you shall be witnesses of what? Of me. So Luke explains being witnesses of him. Are we together? Or rather, Matthew explains being witnesses of him as what? Baptizing men in his name. And Luke explains baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost as what? As what? Witnesses of what? Of me. What does that take us? It shows you when you look at the book of Acts and you see how ministry is done. The disciples were acting on what? Baptizing in the name of what? The Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Disciples were acting on what? You shall be witnesses of what? Of me. Disciples were acting on what? Making disciples of all what? Nations. And the very first thing we saw is that on the day of the Pentecost, when 3,000 people got saved, the next thing they did is that they were being discipled in the churches. It shows you that the local church is the ground for discipleship. I had to hurry. That's why I had to arrive at what I said now quickly. And many things that have skipped in my thoughts. Are we together? Are we together? So, Acts 2, just read. Acts 2. It says in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, that, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now can we take 41 together? I want to go. And they that gladly receive his word were baptized. The same day, can you read the text? Everyone want to go? Then they that gladly receive the word were baptized. Huh? About 3,000 souls. 42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship. You see, that word fellowship, koinonia, speaks of a gathering. So they continue in the apostles' doctrine
And in what? Fellowship. Then he said, in what? And what? In prayers. So, breaking of bread and what? Prayers. Now, those four things, they are significant. They are significant. He says they continued in the apostles' what? Doctrine. Now, what is the apostles' doctrine? The apostles' doctrine is simply the teaching that Jesus handed over to them. Simple. Don't drag it. We can look at the content later. But the apostles' doctrine was the message that Christ gave them. The way he gave it to them. Do you get that? The message that Christ gave, the way he did what? He gave it. Then he says they continued in what? Fellowship. So fellowship means they were in close contact with one another. So there is a family interaction. A family interaction. A fellowship. It speaks of a deep interaction. That word fellowship is the word koinonia. It means to have things in common. Are we together? It also means to be found in the same place. So to be in fellowship with someone means to be around each other. It could be geographical. When you are found in the same physical location. Are we together? Are we together? It could be psychological. When you believe the same things, you reason the same way, you have the fellowship of understanding. So they continue in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. They now mention an integral part of that fellowship. He said, in the breaking of bread. Now, the breaking of bread there was unique to them. Now, before then, you would have observed that Jesus broke bread with them. The breaking of bread was a literal act of them eating together. Because of that world, they usually ate together. The breaking of bread is not only communion, no. The breaking of bread is not only communion, no. The breaking of bread is not only communion, no. The breaking of bread is not what? Only communion that we will practice today. In fact, the practice of only communion today has sabotaged the reality of that fellowship. I'll talk about that some other time. It's far away. The breaking of bread was the culture they had of eating together. They literally ate together. The church usually met to eat together. Are we together? They will eat together. And it was because of their world. Why? Because eating together was one of the closest way that they show fellowship with one another. That was why Paul said, if anybody invites you to, are we together? He says, go. Don't ask questions. Don't start questioning them. He says, sit down, eat. Because that is how they demonstrated fellowship. That was how they were able to show one another that we belong to one another. We are partakers of one another. We are one. So a demonstration of their brotherhood was that they usually took meal together. That is the breaking of bread. And usually, look at this. When they took meal together, it is so that, pay attention, this is the fundamental reason. It is so that those who did not have will be able to eat. And in eating, there is no stigmatization, there is no discrepancy, there is no separation, because the one who did not have is now sitting at the table with the one that has so much. And they are eating together. Today in our world, the application of that might differ. Are we together? But the church has that custom. of demonstrating what in their word makes them to show themselves that what? They are one. Are we together? That is, you are part of me, I am part of you, we are of the same body. You already did that in Acts 2, Acts 4. Look at that text again. In Acts 2, quickly. Acts 2. Are you there? So they had the practice of eating together, because that was how they demonstrated one body. Someone say one body. So when it says the breaking of bread, it was not referring to the Passover. Now, did Jesus break bread? Did he break bread with them at the Passover table? Yes, that is not what this text is talking about. Because what Jesus did, listen carefully, what Jesus did with the apostles at the Passover table, look at it, he was celebrating the feast of the Passover. That is not what this text is talking about. Jesus celebrated the Passover feast with his disciples, which was once a year. That is not the breaking of bread that this text is talking about. The breaking of bread that this text is talking about, Paul later spoke about it in 1 Corinthians 11. And he spoke about it was a regular practice that they had. A regular practice. So look at these two things. In Acts 2, if I mention those two things, in Acts 2, look at the custom. Can we take verse 41 together? Acts 2. I'm rounding up. Acts 2, are you there? Acts 2, take 41 together. I want to go. Acts 2. Can we take 41 together? I want to go. Forty-two, forty-three, forty-four, forty-five, forty-six. Did you see that? Breaking bread from what? Wait, be careful with words, yo. Breaking bread from outside is not talking about anything people that are eating. That means in all the houses there were breaking of bread that was happening. This is what we call the cell church. Notice he said, read that text you read again now. That last text. Once you go. In the what? In the temple. So look at this. In the temple refers to our corporate services. Everybody in church are what? Under one roof. Thursday meeting, Sunday meeting is in the temple. Then the next thing that you read is what? There was also house to house what? Fellowship. So there is the cell meetings and there's the corporate what? Services. Is that what practice in our church? We took it from those texts. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? You see, one of the things you must do is that you must begin to see your church in the scriptures, in this conference. Alright? So, you observe in verse 44, what did you read? Uh-huh, 45. They sold their what? Possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man at what? Need. Did you see that? Notice it says they sold. And what? They did what? They sold their possession and what? And did what? Is that not contradicting? You are not reading what you are reading. They sold their goods and what? And did what? If you have sold it, where are you parting it? They parted the proceeds of the sales. Be careful with words. Some of you read, you don't process what you are reading. If you have sold, where are you, what are you parting again? Are we together? So that means they sold. Are we together? Then the proceeds of the sales coming, maybe as money, then it now went to people. It didn't have to go to people as money, but it now bought what all need. Did you get it? So it wasn't that they were sharing money, but there was a distribution of what all need in local church. What you are leading now is already a local church. And this is what discipleship is. Because we said when you look at the book of Acts, they are acting on make disciples. They are acting on witnessing me. They are acting on what? Preaching the gospel. They are acting on what? Thank you. That was so welcome. Praise God. I'll give you one more text. And I'll say the two things I wanted to say. One more text, Acts chapter 4. In fact, Acts 5, quickly, Acts 5. In Acts 5 again, look at verse 42, everyone. And what? Daily the temple, and what? They cease not to what? So, there's a way you can read the other text and say, in the temple they were teaching, in the house they were sharing bread. No. No. Are we together? You are seeing it now. That daily in the temple and from house to house, they ceased not to teach and to what? Preach. That means they were preaching the word every week, house to house. Every week. At that time of the week, they are preaching again. Are we together? House to house. Smaller groups. It's what they call house to house. House to house. Smaller groups. Smaller gatherings that carries out the same activities of the world's larger gathering. So you are here. Someone is inviting you to cell meeting. Say, why do you have to come to cell meeting? I have already attended corporate meeting. You are saying that because you are not trained. You are not a disciple. It is the ignorance in your mind that is speaking. You don't understand Christianity yet. And it's not only knowledge that speaks. Ignorance also speaks. That's what Cleopas and his wife were doing. They were saying that, what are you saying? And they were speaking as though they were almost even rubbing up the unbelief on Jesus. He said, you guys are foolish. You guys are foolish. So, house to house. Are we together? Now look at one more text where they sold. Now maybe you go and sell. Amen. But the lesson there is that there was a distribution. There was welfare. Now, in your church, do you have welfare? Have you received of the church welfare before? How many times? Several times. That's it. So that is discipleship going on. Discipleship. The church welfare structure that one or two people are triggered into action when they sense a lack or a need around you is discipleship. The teaching of the word in the corporate services and the smaller gatherings to pray, to share the word, to interact fellowship is also what? Discipleship. Are we together? It's also discipleship. In Acts 4, look at verse 33. Acts 4, 33. Acts 4, verse 33. Rounding up the session. If you want me to round up, open it. If you want me to round up, open it. If you want me to round up, open it. One, two, go. I'll not round up. I'll not read it well. One, two, go. Neither was there that lacked any, neither was there among them rather
that land. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prizes of the things. Is that what I said earlier? Good. Read on. And laid them what? So again, observe how, notice what you read before, is that those that had possessions, right, they did what? They sold and then parted, right? So we said that was because they sold things, the proceeds, are we together, was now used to take care. Now again, you also observe that it was not done randomly or anyhow. You just read here now, it says, they brought the what? The what? What did they lay down at the apostles' feet? The what? The what? They brought the prizes. Obviously, you will know that you have to be careful with words. The prizes they brought, is it the cost of those things or the money? So you have to be careful with words. What is it that they brought the money, the cost? So this is the price list. No! Are we together? They brought the money to where? The apostles' feet. Now again, it didn't mean that they were throwing it at Peter's leg. Ah, Pastor Edgar, fine. Then you bring a million naira in the envelope. They say, ah, you just open Pastor's office. Ah, how are you that? You go. Pastor, what more lemon? You get one more lemon? You get. Ah, you are mad. Now, when I'm saying, I've seen people do it before. Now, I've seen someone do it before. The pastor was preaching. The guy just took bail. You know bail. You know bail of money. You should know bail. He just took bail. He was moved by revelation. And he just goes to the battle. Ah! One more, baby. Are we together? He said, "Pah!" He took out, removed from the bed. "Pah!" He said, "I'm not joking. Look at that. Pah!" A part of me was saying, "Ah, do it to me, do it to me, do it to me." But you'll not become fair leader. Just do it to me. When you do it, just go and sit down. Are we together? No. He says they brought it to the apostles' what? Feet. Apostles' feet is the common church post. That's the apostles' feet. Apostles' feet is used for a place of authority. He didn't say they dropped it at Peter's feet. Hey, Pastor, this is Ghana must go. Down. Peter to open it. And open it small. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are reaching the nations. Ekwe Apostle John, what? No. The apostles' feet, look at this, is church ministry account. Observe that nobody was going behind the scene to dash each other money. That is how you ruin the church. Dashing each other money. Dash each other money. Dash each other money. I'll talk about that tomorrow morning. Dash each other money. Just dash each other. Shoes. Just dash each other. Just dash each other. Yeah, I don't like this shirt again. Do you like it? Yes. Yeah, I've been seeing the clothes you have been wearing of late. Let's go to boutique. A brother takes his sister to boutique. Anything you want to wear, they want to buy. I like this. Buy it. I like that one. Buy it. The brother has not given his pledge. I like that. Buy it. That is how you destroy the church of God. At the apostles' feet. So, amidst many things we see in the local church, there's also orderliness. And all of these things is what makes it the place of discipleship. Is that clear, church? Give me 5 moments. All of these things is what makes it a local church. Are we together? Are we together? So you see, 2 things I want to mention. In the Acts 2 text, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' words, doctrine.
The apostles' doctrine was not just information from the apostles. Apostles' doctrine is also how you act on what you have been taught. Is that clear? How you what? Respond to the information. So in the local church in Acts, they didn't only teach people the word, they also did what? Look at what I'm doing.
It's your cell leader.
It's coming to you. They also followed you up to see how you are acting on what has been taught. Is it clear? Look at this. Because in shepherdhood, in shepherding, you don't just give meal to the flock. A good shepherd observes whether the flock is taking the meal. A good shepherd examines how well the meal is transforming and helping that what? Flock. A good shepherd also observes what is around this flock that might hinder the complete work of that meal. Are we together? A good shepherd also adjusts the meal into what the flock needs at the very what moment. All of this is what makes up discipleship. So the ground of that discipleship is what you and I we call the local church. Interestingly, this was where I was supposed to pick my thoughts this morning. The local church. That is the ground of discipleship. So when you see churches in Acts, now answer me, Bible students. Look up now. Answer me. Where do we find the churches in Acts? In the epistles, right? In the epistles. So look at this. Unto the church in Rome, unto the church in Corinth, unto the church in Philippi. Oh, unto the church in Cappadocia, unto the church in Thessalonica. Oh, unto the church in Ephesus. All of that unto the church at. Greet this and the churches in the house. Greet this and the church in the house. The churches you see all around the epistles were present in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the historical account of all the churches being written to. So when you see multiplicity of churches in the book of Acts, that is what acting on the instruction of Jesus to go and make disciples produces. You can't make disciples outside the church. I look at some people. They say, hey, that someone told me, says, we are not doing church. What we are doing is fellowship. It is church. You just don't want to name it church. What is a church? What's a local church? A local church is any where any two or three people are gathered for the purposes of Jesus Christ. Are we together? They meet regularly, or they meet at all for the purposes of Jesus Christ under a definite leadership. That is already what? A church. Now this brother and you are then, very tough, by the way, I finished. And it was 2013, 2014. This is the brother who gather folks and then we'll have this. And then the guy will come into our meeting, one of those meetings we're holding then. And before you know it, you just observe that some of the people were trying to disciple and they were even trying to stabilize the church. Imagine now following him to different. We didn't have issues with that, obviously. I don't call people, I don't struggle with people, I don't fight people for disciples and all that. I don't do that. I've never done that before, I'll never do that. Because of that. Obviously, the reason why I followed the guy was because they themselves were not established. Even though they are right from their wrong, they were babes. Some of them, speak to them, put them through, give them the word, and then they get serious. Some of them will never see. It's not about you that will be serious. Are we together? But look at this. So one of those days, I had a conversation with brother, and it wasn't only me, it was also, a friend of mine was also there. I had a conversation with his brother. I said, what are you doing? He said that what I'm doing is that I'm doing an interdenominational thing. That means I am not a denomination. It's not a church. It's just interdenomination. I have been called not to a people. I have been called to influence everybody all over it. See, in 30 years, Jesus will stand before you and you have no reward. And it's a lie. Oh. It's a lie. Oh. It's because he wants to steal people's flock. His tactics. Tactics. Don't worry. I will show you a lot of things. I will show you a lot of things. Not in this conversation. Tactics. Our own is just a group. It's not a church. What do you do? Do you pray? Yes, sir. Do you share the word? We don't really teach like that. We just share the word. We just have this group meeting and everybody just share what they think that the text is saying. Oh, so you share the word. Yes. If any among those who come, if they fall sick, do you try to do something to it? We must care for people. Oh, so you care for their sick? Yes. What about when you have resources and someone needs that? We provide. You provide resources? Yes. Do you gather them to pray? Yes. Do you share the word? Yes. What do you say you are again? We are not really a church. You are a church. Only that, the way you are doing it, you are a weak church. And Jesus wants what? Strong church. I just saw one long time ago. I said, come out clear. That was trying to have a church inside the church. Come out clear! That's not my conversation for today. It sounds like a meeting. Altogether. But look at this. That is the ground of the salvation. The church. You cannot be a disciple outside the church. By the church, I mean the churches of Jesus Christ. You cannot be. You can't be a disciple outside the church. You can't be. You cannot be. You cannot be. There's no discipleship outside the church. What you are just doing is confusion about confusion. If it is discipleship, that's already a church. If you like, the meeting once a year is a church. Now imagine your church meeting once a year. Hey, Libadu. Are we together? Huh? Hey, Libadu. You're checking. Amen. Imagine your church meeting once a year. Imagine that you feed your children once a year. What did God do? Is it clear? Now, some of you say, our pastor teaches too much. You should actually change that word. So, what you are saying is that our pastor feeds us too much. Is that a statement of a gradual person? Our pastor feeds us with good meal too much. And you are complaining? That is the church. Church go go in here. Is that clear? Judgment. Is that how we started? Judgment. Judgment. There's something affecting you the way you are seeing it. Someone is calling it disturbance. See, there are diverse people in different places that are praying to God. While some people were busy rejecting Paul's ministry, there was people in Macedonia that were crying to God, save us. Why some people were opposing the ministry of the apostles, persecuting, slandering, accusing Peter. There was Cornelius somewhere that was doing all he could do to be saved. He did it so much an angel had to come. I said, this he can't save you, but we see your heart. Send for Peter. He will tell you the words of life. There are people in places that wish they have an assembly like your own around them. They will be your judgment on the day of the Lord. They'll be your judgment. That's what Jesus said about Chorazin. Are we together? That's what he said about them. He said, if the miracles, Bethesda, he said, if the miracles that were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, if the miracles that was done, are we together? In front of you, were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, city will not be destroyed. It means you have a privilege that many are crying and are waiting
and are pressing for. You have the shepherd who carries you on his heart night and day. There are places where you see very hungry, faithful, fervent Christians who love the Lord with all their hearts, being pastored by men who make them of their resources and lie to them and use them to satisfy all their natural inclinations. Send them on errands. Send them on this. Send them on this. Church members. Oh God, their church members, they don't come here. Where ever see the Lord? Are we together? You have an assembly that provides what is necessary, sufficient. Don't complain. The local church is the ground of discipleship. I'm going to show you tomorrow how that the local church is a team that in God's mind, God expects you to struggle with them. The local church. God expects you. What is in God's mind is that he expects you to struggle alongside your local church. I didn't say you are the struggle of the local church. No. Alongside. That means when your church is laboring at doing something, you labor with them. So look at that. In the Acts 2 text, I'll see there's two things in my mind. In that Acts 2 text, it says they continued out steadfast. Are you steadfast? Tonight we're going to pray about our steadfastness. Are we together? Are you steadfast? Are you steadfast? What does it mean to be steadfast? It means things that you give. Someone say, it's not do or die. See, some things are do or die. Serving God is do or die. Serving God, preaching the gospel, putting out the word is do or die. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Answer me, I said, are we together, church? Preaching the gospel, reaching the nations, and there are nations all around us. There are nations in our campuses. There are nations in our communities. There are nations in our cities. There are nations there. People from different states are part of the nations. People of different genders are part of the nations. People of different dialects are part of the nations. People of different societal status are part of the nation. People of different occupations and jobs and careers are part of the nation. People of different societal inclinations are part of God's nation. It is to make disciples. It is happening in the church. The local church is the ground of discipleship. And that is what we see in the book of Acts. So everything that Jesus did and told them, when he said made disciples, you will see the churches. So when we are making disciples, we are supposed to have what? Churches. Someone say churches. I didn't say a church. Someone say churches. To make disciples. I will start speaking church. Yoruba speaking church. Yoruba speaking church. There are people that you alone can reach for the Lord. It is your own seriousness that is hindering the work of God. Your own seriousness. There are men that you are the one that is meant to reach them. I can reach them. Not because I can't assess them. There is the grace in you and an ability, a compendium and a set of tools that have been put in you to reach those people with the ease that I can't have. I don't waste resources. I am steadfast. My heart is open. My eyes are open. All I'm saying is, yes, Lord, I am open. Just pray for yourself for a few minutes. Amen. We're supposed to reach. The songs you're supposed to sing. The books you're supposed to write. The sermons you're supposed to preach. The churches you're supposed to plant. In the local church. Oh, in the local church. Ministries. 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 In the local church. Ministries. In the local church. Ministries. In the local church. Ministries. In the local church.